Hello and welcome to Home to Her, the podcast that's dedicated to reclaiming the lost and stolen wisdom of the sacred feminine. I'm your host, Liz Kelly, and on each episode, we explore her stories and myths, her spiritual principles, and most importantly, what this wisdom has to offer us right now. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is Liz joining you as usual from Central Virginia and the unceded lands of the Monacan Nation. And I am so glad that you are with me again today. As always, I'll just let you know that if you want to find out whose native lands you might be residing on, check out the map native-land.ca. Really good information for you there. I always put that in the show notes. And also check out, if you're interested in learning more about Indigenous history here in the United States, check out the Coalition of Natives and Allies. I will put the link to their website in the show notes as well. This is a small group of Indigenous women and their white allies. One of those white allies, Arla Patch, was a former podcast guest. She also designed the cover of my book, and they have lots of really great educational resources on their site. They've also recently produced a short film that I've had the privilege of seeing. It's really good, and they're accepting applications for showing it in small group educational settings. So I'm going to put that in the show notes so you can learn more if you would like. And before we jump in, I always have a couple of announcements for you guys. So one is really near and dear to my heart, and that is this. I've recently launched the Home to Her Academy. I am so excited about this. This is a school to help people learn about the sacred feminine. And my idea with this is to bring together qualified, really engaging instructors who can teach us on this in ways that are rooted in the historical record. So we're actually drawing from mythology and history and the iconography, but also embodied and intuitive. So we are being invited to learn with more than our minds. It's a both and situation for me. I think we should be able to have both. The lessons will also be intersectional. I really want to make sure that we're addressing head on these messy entanglements of spirituality with patriarchy and racism and colonialism, all of these things. And then also the lessons are practical, meaning that we can apply this kind of stuff to our lives where we are right now. So I feel pretty strongly about all this. I'm kicking off the first course, Home to Her Story, Home to Your Story, on Sunday, September 10th. I've been working on this class for a really long time. And it's my spin on an introduction to the Her Story of the Sacred Feminine, with an eye specifically toward understanding what this all has to do with you and your life. So we will talk about her story in a way that I promise you will not be boring. We will move and flow and practice feeling this wisdom in our bodies in each class. And then one of my favorite parts is the creative writing portion, which will invite us to practice spelling the world we want into being via storytelling exercises, which I have personally found to be very powerful in my own life. So this is a 6-week live class, starts Sunday, September 10th. We will meet on Sunday afternoons, Eastern time, and the classes will be recorded. This is all at hometoheracademy.com. You can learn about it there. You can sign up for my newsletter so you can find out about new classes. I've been working super hard behind the scenes on this, and I've been talking to so many amazing people who are going to be joining me to help teach future classes. I'm really deep in planning a course around divine feminine and mothering with a really amazing instructor. So I'm just going to leave that one out there for now. And go check out the show notes. Go check out hometoheracademy.com. And if you'd rather read about the sacred feminine and you're looking for a good read, then maybe check out my book, Home to Her, Walking the Transformative Path of the Sacred Feminine from Womancraft Publishing. It's available wherever you buy your books, but please do consider buying it from Womancraft because they are an amazing small woman-owned business, or order it from your local bookstore. And if you've read it and you liked it, I would be so grateful for your reviews. Reviews on Amazon and Goodreads are super helpful. And the same goes with this podcast. If you like what you're hearing here, I would be so grateful for your positive reviews, especially on iTunes. That's super helpful, but I'll take them wherever you want to leave them. And as always, if you have feedback for me and input on what you're hearing here, please feel free to reach out via social media channels. And I will put all of that in the show notes as well. And now let's move on to why you are really here today. I feel so lucky to get to talk to just the most amazing people on this show. And my guest today, I met her a few years ago, back when I still lived in California. I have this dear friend and mentor who was hosting family dance parties in her backyard yurt, which is just, I mean, I can't even tell you, like, that is so up my alley. That's exactly the way I want to spend a Sunday morning. And my guest and I just, you know, kind of randomly connected there. And in that time, I have learned much more about her work and have been contemplating this idea of dance and its intersection with the sacred feminine. I know for me, there's so much embodiment that comes with the divine feminine, and dance is one of the ways in which I feel this connection to her the most strongly. So as I've been contemplating that, I could not think of anybody that I would rather have more on the show to come and talk to me about this connection today. So let me go ahead and introduce her to you now. Juliana Mendonca is a Venezuelan contemporary dance performer, choreographer, and teacher. She is an innovative body worker influenced by Latin traditional dances, buto, contact improvisation, and physical theater. Throughout her career, she has developed a unique language with which she can express and create powerful art and healing. And in particular, water has represented a very important element for her to understand herself. And Juliana has dedicated many years to creating projects and performances inspired by this element of water. And these include music and dance companies, Raíz de Agua, La Naciente, Drop and Drought, Sono Somatic, and most recently, Liquidanza, a relaxation and dance practice that is practiced in the water. Through Liquidanza, Juliana helps individuals and groups explore movement and dance in and outside the water using specific techniques to help them feel the fluidness of their bodies. She also works with a variety of other dance centers and artists in the Bay Area of California, where she currently resides, and these include Destiny Arts Center and La Peña Cultural Center. Juliana, I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, Liz, thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be in this space with you. Thank you for the invitation.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I don't know if you feel like this too, but I'm always amazed by the way in which people cross our paths that we don't expect it, or, you know, like just the so-called randomness. It's not really random at all. You know, I feel like so lucky that I got to meet you on that random Sunday morning, you know, in my dear friend's backyard yurt. And here we are now. It's so special and so amazing the way that I feel like the divine kind of weaves these connections into our lives.
Yes. And also, yeah, I think your work and your devotion for the divine energy and the feminine energy has been really powerful in your path. And in some way, I feel like that frequency always keep both in some way together.
Yes, like we find each other, I don't know, like magnets or so, I don't know, something, yes.
Yes.
Actually, there's probably something more fluid and water-like, like a metaphor that would work better there. Well, I love to start with my guests with just hearing a little bit about your spiritual background or your religious background, how you were raised and how that has kind of informed where you are now. Or not. So I wonder if you could start there.
Yeah, thank you. So I grew up I'm born in a Catholic family. and I think Jesus and Mary has been always like archetypes and energies present in my life. But I can say dance and the art was really a deep way to connect with something more essential and more wild and more deep in my connection with my body, and then also in my connection with nature. So I grew up with this Catholic influence, but I think then when I was a teenager, I opened my own curiosity to learn different routes, and I connect a lot with the yoga practice. I had the opportunity to be with some guru for a few years practicing Kriya Yoga, I could travel into India and connect in some way with different spiritual experience that touched me so deep. But I think the most, beautiful spiritual practice that I can say that I have has been dance. And dance with the years has been become more than a just entertainer or something to keep in movement. My body has been really a path to know myself and connect with memories and with symbols. And the creative process has been open something really spiritual for me. So now my dance practice is like my way to pray and my way to connect with myself and connect with others.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Well, and I wonder, as you were younger, if you being raised in a Catholic tradition in a Catholic family, how did this love of dance kind of show up? And also, was there any kind of conflict between those two things? Like, I know here in the United States, I wasn't raised Catholic, but I do know people who were, including my partner. And it always seemed like his experience of church was very, it just didn't seem like a dancing kind of place, for example. I don't know if that's an American thing, or not, but I'm curious sort of how those, if you felt like those things were in conflict and how dance kind of first appeared in your life.
I think I am a part of that generation of people that was creating bridge between new things and the traditional things that we had from the family. So in my case, I grew up with artists, with musicians. So I feel they start open in some way, the paradigms and the creative part as a professional activity in my family. So in the moment that I decide to be a dancer, for me was more like was something new. I am one of the professional dancers in my city. So I want one of that women that decide that dance is gonna be a professional activity. So for me, that was more than the religion, was most, okay, how I can really approach to dance in a really professional way and not just as a hobby. Mm-hmm. So, and I think my commitment to dance was so serious when I was younger that my family really show respect to my commitment with this. And I think never really was a conflict. For me, was more like I was feeling in this way that we practice Catholicism don't have really the deeper mystic connection that I was looking for. And I think we are been living a transition in terms of the power that religion has been in the culture. And now it's like a new awakening about what is really mean religion and what really means rituals and the practice that really can connect everyone with their own curiosity and needs. So in my case, my commitment with dance as a professional, then with the time, I could found, oh no, this is the practice that is really gonna help me to go deeper into what means something mystic in my life. So for me, it was an opportunity, the dance, and then be a professional dancer, give me some power, no, to people respect my opinions and then my performance choreographic work.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Were you aware of, like, did you have a sense of that spiritual or that divine aspect of dance from the beginning? Or was there a particular moment when you said, hey, this is my professional path, but there's something here that feels like it is pulling me into that mystical connection? How did you become aware of that?
Yeah, I think always was the nature. For me, be going to the mountain. I born in Mérida. Mérida is one of the most high cities in Venezuela. So you are part of the beginner of the end of the La Sierra de los Andes. So it's really powerful presence in the city. And for me, always go to the nature was an experience, really excited myself and mysterious, like the rivers, the forest, how perfect is the nature, how the cows has an order. Yeah, I think nature always was for me the most powerful spiritual presence that I could feel. And in my case, open my body through the dance training, give me more, yeah, more openness, sensorial openness to really feel the nature really strong. And so, yeah, for me, and the rivers, the water always was something that impress myself, like I just be close to the river, change my state. It's like the river have their own song, no? And this sound is like a mantra, have this power to change the frequency that you are. And it's really powerful.
Oh yeah. And I'm making a note because I want to come back to that specific to rivers. And the flow of rivers as opposed to say ocean and otherwise, but so I don't want to forget that, but I do want to ask you about the, you know, because this is a show about the divine feminine, the sacred feminine. You know, if there was a particular, you mentioned Mary, so at least from a church perspective, you had a sense of a divine feminine force, right? But I'm curious if there was a particular point when you felt into this idea of the divine feminine, or when that became more present in your life, or was it always there? What was that like for you? And if you want to say, you know, goddess or mother, or whatever words work for you is fine.
Yeah. I think always the archetype of Mary is really powerful in each woman. All of us have a Mary intelligence inside of us. And in some way, we have a some Mary that is guiding us always. No, I feel that. But the way that this woman can become, I feel change all the time. Depends where you are, the needs, and also the feminine symbols that you need to open memories inside of you. So in my case, first I remember this book, Mujeres que corren con lobos, Women That Run with a Wolf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and I love how that sounds in Spanish, which of course, Clarissa Pinkola Estes is.
Yes.
So lovely. Yes.
So I read this book when I was a teenager, and for me, the connection with the archetype of the wild woman was like a really deep sea in my psyche to understand that I always need to take care of this wild woman. So for me, that was like a first really open door to connect with different women inside of me, and not just the doncella, that woman in that age, you know, like a more curiosity start to happen through that book. And then I connect so strong with these feminine archetypes from India, Lakshmi, Durga, and Saraswati. So this was another, for me, in some point, was another strong, powerful, yeah, research. And also I did a show, and I work with another two dancers, and I represent Durga, and I take that moment really serious, my research, So I create an altar for Durga, and we start to sing songs for the goddess. And I think that was another second beautiful moment in my life that I connect with these qualities about the feminine that is more than my personal story. So, you know, these qualities that connect us with something more universal, with some intelligence that push us into some limits, frontiers that bring something new, no, and different than just the cultural reference. And then in my immigrant journey here in US, I connect with some myth from Venezuela about a water goddess. Mm. Her name is Yara, and it's like a native feminine image about the water goddess in Venezuela. And then I found the same archetype in Brazil. I am half Brazilian too. So this myth, this goddess, was another really strong symbol in my mind that I feel has been guiding me in some way, in my way that I've been approaching myself to the water. And also the sacred way that you can get close into the water, how really from inside of you, from where you see the water, you can create a really new relationship, and the water can start guiding you or message you in a really playful, mysterious, and beautiful ways. So for me, yeah, this myth right now is like a really alive symbol in my feminine divine connection with myself.
And the name of the goddess, Yara?
Yara.
Okay. Yeah. I will make sure I get that in the show notes so that people can look that up. And I know when you and I talked before we did this recording, she's a goddess I had not heard of before. And I think also it sounded like for you describing her that she's native to Venezuela, correct? As opposed to say, Yamaya or right. Some of the goddesses who came across the waters with African enslaved individuals, and hail back to African traditions. Like she's rooted in that place. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Which is so, it's so lovely to learn about. I think I shared with you too. As an English speaker, and it's hard to find this information sometimes, you know. I think that I don't really understand computer algorithms, but I would imagine that they're designed to give me back white, you know, white resources and white stories. And so it's just really refreshing to learn about brand new to me goddesses. Of course, they're not new, but I love learning about them. So, well, and I wanted to ask you about the water too. You were talking about rivers, and I was thinking as you were talking about my own experience with rivers, which has not been that much. Growing up, I went to the ocean a lot.
Mm.
And then I lived in California for 16 years, always very close to the ocean. But you know, Juliana, there's the sources of water, especially in certain parts of California, you don't have these rushing rivers like you get, say, where I live now on the East Coast. And during our family's travels across the United States, we camped beside the Mississippi River for a few nights, and it was breathtaking. It just the flow, the constant flow was very hypnotic, almost like wanting, yes, to literally pull you in and take you with it. It was a little disorienting to be sleeping there, you know, and go out and just watch, yeah, the power of it moving by. And so I wonder for you, if, you know, in this exploration of water for you, if you've, and I hope this makes sense, but are you finding kind of a universal quality dependent on the water, or is there, depending on the body of water, you get a totally different feel, like it communicates to you in a different way? Mm-hmm. What's that experience like for you?
Yeah, I think every aquatic space have their own frequency, no? But maybe one of the most beautiful things about rivers is you can see the force, the strength of life, and how when life is there, never stop. Yes. And it's not really ends, you know, you're gonna meet with the ocean, and you're gonna be this one big body, one big water body that connect the whole planet in a just one being, no? So for me, water and rivers is a beautiful connection to remind myself that nothing stops, that the things that have life is always in a continuous movement and also transformation. It's not just one shape, or could be so many different shapes. And I feel the mind, the person, we try always to find a comfort zone when we can be like a little bit in a static position to feel like everything goes slow and we are here. But then river just remind me that the energy is so fast and always is changing and it's alive, it's there, no? So I think that, yeah, every space, every aquatic space, the cenotes, for example, they can be really mysterious and different kind of water. You can be in a deep cenote and they start to drying you down, pulling you down, then, or you can be in a lagoon when you can feel really peaceful state and the movement is happening more in the place that you cannot see the water. So, or then you have the ocean with this really strong force that move all this water and it's connecting with the moon. So I think every aquatic space can wake up different memories and also feminine qualities inside of us, different. And depends what you need or what you want to work. I trying to go to different kind of space. For me, the river was always the cold water. So it was my practice to also wake up my body and feel, yes, this awakening that just can bring with the cold water. Then I've been working with warm waters, and it's getting more into this relaxed state when the joy is possible, connect more with the belly memory, with this water that can support you and protect yourself. So I think the water have so many different feminine qualities that we can find. And for me, it has been like a beautiful mirror to look myself and to look into these divine qualities that I want to include more into myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's making me think too. Well, do you think you've mentioned the feminine qualities? Do you think of the water itself as having a feminine quality, or that it's kind of awakening those qualities in you?
Yeah, beautiful question. Maybe in my mind, for me, it's like, yeah, the water is feminine. For me, the water represents is the mother in the planet. And then the sunlight is the father energy all the time, penetrating, touching this water, and then creating these so diverse forms of life, no, in the planet. So for me, water, yeah, is the connection with the universal feminine intelligence that live inside of every creature and in ourselves. Doesn't matter if you are a woman or a man, you have water inside. So you have this feminine quality inside of you that we need also wake up and use with more consciousness to bring power into who we are and yeah, and how we can serve from more intelligent frequency and not just the personal desires or needs that everyone has. And I think part of the crisis with climate change is because we lose the spiritual relationship with the water. We lose the spiritual relationship with the mother inside of us. And we are living the consequence of this disconnection, no? From something that is inside of us and all the time is nurturing us, because we need to drink water to keep our system really alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, you know, now that you've been working with water for many years, do you see men, because I know you work with men and women, right? And perhaps people who don't identify as either of those categories, but do you see, you know, a difference in the ways in which water touches men and works, you know, were you working with men in that kind of energy of water versus women? I know those are broad categories, but I'm curious if you see it sort of touching awakening in different ways.
Yeah, maybe for me has been really curious how many men has been approaching to my work. And what I can realize or discover is that men are looking more for the feminine intelligence inside of them. And I think water, in some intuitive way, people is looking for this connection through the water. But then when you are looking water and also dance, for me also dance is one of the most natural ways how feminine express manifests into our life. So I think, yeah, the combination of dance and water for me has been really a potent feminine practice. Mm-hmm. No, when you don't need to think maybe so rational about nothing, you just get into the reality that you just gonna practice and you're gonna relax and you're gonna listen and you're gonna receive. And so you are practicing through the dance these qualities that are completely feminine qualities, but you are doing it in so natural way. I don't need to push you, you know, in some way you are looking for this grace, for this softness, for this surrender, for these qualities that normally you can find so easily in the feminine connection. So I've been discovering that is, and sometimes some women also, you can be a woman and you are not connected with your feminine side. Yeah. You can be really resisting, controlling, not receiving. So I've been discovering that doesn't matter what you have between your legs. Yeah, it's an feminine intelligence looking for your awareness. And we need men and women can just have this approach to the feminine side in a more universal way and really cultivate these qualities in your daily life.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking to you about dance, and I would imagine that maybe it's different for, you know, you mentioned that you grew up in a family of artists and musicians, and so there's I imagine there to be an openness, you know, to the ways in which the arts can touch you and can move through you that perhaps some other people don't have. And I was thinking about how, and I could just speak for myself as a woman, there was dance is something that I've always loved, but there's been a lot of confusion around it because as a younger woman, there's always like a performance quality, you know, where there's always, everything's always sort of tailored towards the male gaze. And like, do I look attractive? Do I look sexy? Like, can I be fully free in my body? If I'm fully free in my body, will I be judged? Will someone think I'm trying to draw attention? All of these things that can become chatter, right? And I was thinking as you were talking about, and I'd love to hear you talk about this, if the bringing the dance practice into water might be a way to calm down some of that chatter, like you know, like you're tapping into this elemental part of the self that is not defined by the outside world and how I am perceived in any way. Does that make sense? Do you feel like you see that? Or
and I think, yeah, in so many different moments in my life, I think I need to look into the stereotypes that how is a woman or how is a be a woman dancer, or so many stereotypes, how you have to move, how you have to look. Yeah. And I think maybe in the whole planet, we've been deal with this and, yeah. And so many reflections about what means really be a woman and how I really value myself, love myself more just to be in some way for be attracted to the men's or be part of these stereotypes in my culture. So I think for me, first, be a contemporary dancer was a really experimental approach to the dance, more than just traditional so popular Latin dance that, you know, you have the way that you have to move. Normally in popular dance, men is the leader and you need to follow the man. So I leave all that part of the dance in one side, but then I had all this training in contemporary dance where I have the license to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was really important point in my career.
Yeah.
Because yes, in some moment, the works that I did was completely certified and to my family because maybe it was too much wild or too much in my own thing. So I think always you as an artist, you're gonna be in a point that you wanna cross things that another people don't like or don't expect about you. But this is your proof, this is your test. This is the things that you need to prove yourself what you want and really be honest with you more than with the desire of the other about you, because we always gonna have this in our life. But I think then it's your commitment to yourself and your research and what kind of artist I wanna be. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was really rebel in some way in my dance approach and research, and I decide to use the dance really as a way to connect with natural elements, with natural archetypes that really helped me to get in touch with a more symbolic mind and not just rational mind, and look into the myth and look into the different archetypes that can live in this woman and how I can use these different archetypes to empower myself. Mm-hmm. So in some point, the dance was more than just make money or entertainment for others. No, this is really a space to know myself and maybe to take risks and share things that not everyone feels the courage to do it, but I feel that I have the spirit to do it. Mm-hmm. So part of my dance way has been a little bit, open my own, work for my own view for my own needs, for my own callings, and follow that callings through the creativity process. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking too that dance is such a, like it's available to everyone, right? If you want to experiment, all you have to do is find some quiet time, turn on, you know, I mean, just if you want to be alone, just find a way to be alone, turn on any song that you like and move. Like anybody could do it, right? So it's, there's so many ways and you can explore it, and it doesn't have to be formal in any way. It's right there.
Yeah, and also the formal education in dance can have so much paradigm and conditions.
Yeah.
But I think right now we are in a moment that a lot of that we are cleaning a little bit, the how people can approach to dance in a more natural, organic, spontaneous, and free way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think now we are getting more into, we studied dance and five rhythms dance, and I think, yeah, another embodiment's ways to connect, I think is helping and supporting this way that we can approach to dance different than the formal schools or jazz or this ballroom influence that where you need to know something, need to really be a good dancer when you don't need. The technique is know your body. I think
yeah.
That is the only technique that we need, is just really know your body, and could be so many different ways that you know your body. No.
Yeah, I have thought about this recently in terms of pop culture and how you'll see performers, like really big, you know, famous performers, often have a dance routine that goes with their music or whatever, and that even the women, and again, I know I'm kind of dealing in stereotypes here, so forgive me if I'm, you know, I'm not meaning to box anybody into any particular corner, but what I see is that even the feminine, I'm using air quotes, the feminine dances that are supposed to be really sexy, I think are also just highly choreographed. There's very like jerky movements to it, you know, like a, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to stick here and I'm going to stick here and I'm going to move this way and then this way. And it hasn't, I do think of the feminine as more of flow, like very
yes,
organic, not like I'm going to move my hip this way and then I'm going to move my hip that way. You know, it's just like what's going to emerge. And so I've found that kind of interesting too, that even our so-called sexy feminine dance still has this feel of rigidity to me in a way. I don't know if you see it that way or not, but.
No, yeah, I can continue feeling a stereotype behind how a sexy or powerful woman have to move.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I agree with you. Now dancing more in the water, for me, the grace of the divine is simple, is floating, is it's happening almost alone. So for me, it's a lot of about listening and this capacity also to connect with the water inside of your body. We are 70% water, 99% in the molecular level, we are water. So how we can also connect more with this quality to be more fluid in the movement, in the mind, in the emotions, and not just get stuck in these identities that we use to define who we are, but when the things that we are could be so many different things. So
yes,
it could be more flexible, the identity that we have about how dance or feminine have to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that keeps coming up for me too, and I think we talked about this before we recorded as well, was the you know, I listeners to this show know that I'm really interested in the history of the divine feminine and some of these old creation myths and our old stories. Not all of them, I mean, I don't know all of them, but some that I have heard and read involve our earliest origins being water, and that water is often characterized, just as you said, as a divine mother. And even in the Christian creation story, you know, supposedly the male God creates world out of nothingness, but in Genesis it says, you know, darkness moved on the face of the waters. So something was there first, and it was water. And of course we know from science too, right? Or at least we think we know that that's everything started in water. We started in water. So I'm thinking of that fluidity, especially now at a time when things are kind of breaking down, as being so vitally important to remembering who we are and where we came from. We came from flow. We know how to flow, and we can, not only can we flow, but we will have to flow in order to navigate the things that are coming our way.
Yeah. And I think we need to flow to find solutions more intelligent in how we are going to continue living in this planet and really listening what is going on, because the nature is talking to us. And I think most we can hear the nature, more fluid is going to be the synchronicities also with nature to understand how heal. And bring more ecological ways to live with other creatures. I think everyone is living like a hero journey where we need to connect with the divine qualities in the feminine and masculine side that we have. And we need to use these two duality forces that create our life to continue creating realities more lovely, graceful, fluid, organic, connected. And for me, in my case, it's really clear to see in the water the qualities that I need, the qualities that I need work in. And if the water has all the memory of the life in the planet. So we are talking about the most, all the data of the universe is in the water. And if the water comes from outside of space, so is the memory of the cosmos. Is living already in the water. So water is like a open book, and how we can get access into these memories that live inside of us, or we can bring that memories through the water that we drink, if we drink wild water or not. So how is the quality of the water that we drink is gonna be another practice to really wake up this divine intelligence that is already inside of us and around us. And I feel like we have so much to continue discovering through the water, and dance is a really natural way to move this memory, to energize the water that we are. If we are just all the time just sitting down, the frequency and the electromagnetics that live inside of us is sleeping. So for me, dance brings this natural way just to elevate the frequency that we are. Mm-hmm. And just put some music. So could be in a really simple, playful way. Don't need to be something so seriously, so deep, so emotional, you know, could be something really simple and but really bright, you know, really joyful, really and easy to also wake up the animals, the wild memory that we have. I feel we have all these animals, plants in some way living inside of us, and dance, art, poems, some image can be enough to just open that inside of us, and then all that world is going to start to manifest and express.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, I know you mentioned that dance can be this way to open up to particular symbols, and I would imagine animals too, as you said, and I wonder if, only if you're comfortable sharing this, but are there any particular symbols, sort of animals, things that have awakened on your own journey with dance that have become very powerful messengers or guides for you?
Yeah, well, in the last times, I've been working a lot with the snake, the symbol of the snake, understanding first the snake live in my whole spine, and the snake is this vital energy, sexual energy that lives in my hips, and that I can use through the movement to wake up and bring all this energy into the whole spine onto my head. So I think, yeah, for me, the snake has been one of the most essential animals that I've been working with this animal through the movement. Yeah, maybe it's beautiful if we have some things to read and wake up a little bit the image. And then when you start to move, it's so easily that your imagination and then the movement start to create some realities inside of you, no? For the combination between imagination and movement. And then for me, like animals, like dolphins or horses or butterflies, birds. Yeah, I think sometimes depends also which element of the nature you wanna connect. So also I think in the animal, if I need like a more earth energy or more fire energy, I can switch with the animals that I feel more connected to these elements to wake up that energy inside of me. Mm-hmm. And maybe just, yeah, put some music and then imitate these animals with your own movement. And just doing that, you start to wake up the memory of this animal inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and my head always goes back to, like, you know, and I think for me in particular, as a person of European descent, you know, where most of our indigenous, like, pagan traditions got wiped out or really suppressed by Christianity, there's always this sort of like, what came before that? You know, what were my ancestors doing? And you know, I know the word shamanic, like shamanism it's a blanket term that, you know, it's not great, but I do think of that, like that we do have evidence that goes way, way, way back, thousands and thousands of years ago. This is like some of the first spiritual practice people were doing, is they were literally donning bear fur, or, you know, they were shape-shifting into animals and dancing as a way to communicate, I think, with the cosmos and to feel a larger sense of themselves. So I think what you're saying makes perfect sense. And it's also a way to pull in that ancestral memory that we have, even if we don't know that we have it.
Yes. Yeah, I think music, sounds, and movement has been part of the millenarian ancestral rituals that is the first technology that we have to connect, to make connection with the world inside and outside, and also to honor and show respect for the creatures that live around you in this wild world around you, that you need to connect to be one with them and no separate worlds.
Well, and I wanted to make sure that I left time for you to talk about Liquidanza as well, because I realize as we're taught, well, I want you to describe what you're doing there. And I'm also realizing that for people who maybe are coming to this conversation who don't have a background in dance, I want to make sure that they kind of can picture what's happening there. I think for some people, it might be a really new idea, like, wait, I can dance in water? What are you talking about? So I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about, you know, what you're doing there and even how you got there.
Yeah. So in my own healing process as an immigrant, adapting into a new culture, learning for the second time another language, speaking for second time, I think a lot of I found in that moment a lot of personal resistance and struggles and obstacles that I need to move on. And in some moment I was a little bit depressed and also a lot of resistance to change from the space that I was into a new Juliana, into this new woman that is now growing in this new culture in US. And during that journey, I connect, one of the beautiful synchronicities was my connection with some Japanese dancer through the Buto dance that I've been practicing for so long. That has been another important dance in my dance philosophy, because Buto dance born after the Hiroshima bomb. And it's a really dance to connect with emotions, to work more with the image and less with the form of the body. So for me, it was a completely different approach to the contemporary dance, no? But through this experience, I connect with some dancer here from Japan, and she introduced me into the Taiso Noguchi technique, that is a Japanese technique to connect with the water inside of the body. This was really my first time, not just imagining how it's moved like a water, or using my imagination to connect with some specific qualities of the water. This was really an experience to feel the water that I am, the water that I have inside. And I remember that for me was like I get home again. It's like for me, feel the water inside of me was really healing experience. And from this moment was like a magical, everything start slow by slow start to change. Everything start to move. I start to practice this really often, this technique. So the quality of my movement start to become more fluid. The quality of my mind start to become more fluid. And I was able to really feel that my mind was stuck in my Venezuelan identity, and I was really resistant to becoming a new, different person, because now I am an immigrant. And I think when I could look this, like a lot, something opened inside of me, and like I was repressing an energy that just needed just go and flow. So after this practice, then I went visit my brothers in Argentina, and I did for the first time contact dance in water. And that was another second experience that really blew my mind. And from that day, I decided I'm going to become a water dancer. I want to do this for my whole life. Give me so much joy and beauty. So I came back to California and I started to research about water dance or something. And I found Watsu, that is an aquatic therapy technique that just is most floating the person in the water. But this experience was also a beautiful connection with the memory inside of the belly, with the mother energy. So from this different experience, then I decide, okay, I'm gonna start to dance in the water. So I call a friend and we start to dance in the beach, in the lagoons. In the beginning, it was really wild. Then we found the most warm public pools. Then I was looking like a 2 years and a half for a pool, and I found it. And now I've been 3 years developing my own method to guide people to connect with the water inside of the body and be water in the water and practice this experience to how is dancing the water and use these qualities of the water as a relaxation, softness, fluidity, and get into a meditative and creative practice to develop your own body expression, to develop your own connection with water, and through your own connection with water, how you can dance and be with others in this, yeah, really organic and natural way. So for me now, it's almost 5 years developing Liquidanza here in the Bay Area. And now I do contact jams every month. I do woman circles in the full moon. And I do one-on-one sessions working. Some people sometimes have some traumas with water or movement, or maybe some pain in a specific part of the body. So I travel a little bit with the person in these different needs, and then how we can open and how we can transform these traumatic memories in a new relationship with the water. So yeah, in general, this is what I've been doing now with Liquidanza.
So beautiful. I will put this in the show notes so you can go look it up too. Juliana has a lot of really beautiful videos on her website too, so you can see her doing this practice with other people. I'm kind of sad that I left the Bay Area before you are fully going with this, but I guess I do have one final question for you. For those people who are not blessed to live in the Bay Area and could come find you personally, what might you suggest to someone else who's listening about kind of connecting into the water through dance, and maybe they don't have easy access to a swimming pool or something? Or maybe they don't live right by the ocean. What might you say to them about how to sort of start to experience this in their own bodies?
Yeah. So thank you for the question. So first, say you are the root of the water. Every one of us, we are the root of the water. So I think first we need to find the ways to connect with our own water. And this water start with the water that you drink. How is your relationship with the water that you drink? Do you talk to your water? Do you bless your water? Do you bless your food? Everything that we eat has a lot of water. It's almost, we keep our system working through the quality of the water that we drink and the aliments, the food that we eat. So for me, that is first. Second, every day, we have this ritual to take the bath, to get into the shower. So yeah, maybe use that moment to understand that you are cleaning all yourself. We came from the night, from this unconsciousness state to awake and decide how it's gonna be our energy in this day. So for me, the connection with the water when you take your shower could be a really powerful moment. And then if you are the root of the water, if we are waters that can walk, that can talk, how you keep alive the water inside of you. For me, move the body, doesn't matter if it's dance. In my case, I love dance because I love to move creative. I don't like the repetition of movement in my case. So I love this ability that dance can offer to always find new and different ways to move your body. So move your body, but if you don't have a dance practice, just walk and shake your body. It could be enough to a little bit bring some energy inside of you. And then second, research what is the wild waters around you, the spring waters, and look and drink from that places, the water, at least one per month. Like a connect with the wild waters around yourself, because in some way you're gonna bring that memory in your mind, in your system. And at least, I don't know, create few times in the year that you have a special connection with some live aquatic space and give some ofrendas. Create some special connection with your family, for yourself. But I feel is how we can create more alive relationship with your own water and with the water that is around you. And maybe understand that we have like a really life spiritual connection with this element, and in the way that we can honor through the space and time, these connections, we are gonna receive. We are gonna receive message, we are gonna receive blessings, we are gonna receive the information that we need to receive just because we are moving into that direction. So for me, my invitation is recognize yourself as a water. Look into the water as a mirror where you can find the qualities that you want to improve in yourself. And there, create a more life relationship with the waters around you.
Oh, I love all those suggestions so much. I was just reminded as you were talking that one of the things, I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to do this when I was younger, and I had an apartment that had a bathroom that didn't have a window in it. And so if I closed the door in there, it would be very dark. And there were times when if I'd had a hard day, I would go in there and I would take a shower in the pitch black. And sometimes I would just sit on the floor of the bathtub. And just the darkness is so dark, I couldn't see anything, and just let the water hit me. And it was always so very healing. And of course, I didn't think about it at the time. I know, you know, now I see the connection to the womb and, you know, the source where we all come from. But it was so, so nurturing. Juliana, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your reflections. This has been such a joy. It's just given me a lot to think about too. And I'm really, really grateful. So thank you for being with me.
Oh, thank you so much for creating this space, for talking about feminine, divine energy, for opening this portal in yourself. And then through this program, create reflection and a space where people can connect to honor and remember this divine connection that we have, that we are. And I feel really grateful for connect with you and can talk about these beautiful things that I feel we all need. We all need this divine connection. We all need to recognize ourselves in the feminine and masculine divine energy and found this wisdom and intelligence to continue living in this planet with more awareness and respect and honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I feel pretty lucky. I get to meet the most amazing people and do, you know, through this work. So so much gratitude to you. And to all of you for listening. As always, if you like the show, please tell somebody about it, give it a favorable review, subscribe to it. You can do all those things. And until next time, drink your water. Bless your water when you do, and take really good care of yourself. And I'll talk to you again soon. Home to Her is hosted by me, Liz Kelly. You can visit me online at hometoher.com, where you can find show notes and other episodes. You can read articles about the sacred feminine. And you'll also find a link to join the Home to Her Facebook group for lots more discussion and exploration of her. You can also follow me on Instagram at Home to Her to keep up to date with the latest episodes. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here soon.